Okay, thanks. Good morning, everybody. My name is Chris Ceraso. I'm the Senior Equity Analyst at Credit Suisse, covering the auto sector. On behalf of myself and Credit Suisse and the other automotive analysts of New York, thank you all for coming this morning. Thanks for coming out so early. Thanks for Ford for putting on the show for us and for bringing out some heavy hitters to talk to us about what lies ahead. Just a reminder, the buses will leave to head back to the Ritz at 1 p.m. today, so you don't want to miss those for the afternoon presentations. I'm going to introduce Don LeClair, who's Ford CFO, who I think you all know. He's going to introduce our two speakers for this morning, Derek Kuzak, head of global product development, and Jim Farley, who's the head of sales and marketing. I don't want to steal Don's thunder, but I do want to say that I think we've got a really good opportunity this morning, because if Ford is going to fix itself, it's largely going to be done on the back of Derek and his ability to conceive and produce great products, and Jim and his ability to convince American car buyers that it's okay to buy a Ford, that it's cool to buy a Ford. So I think we've got a great opportunity this morning to hear what these guys have to say and to ask them questions. There will be some time for Q&A. One last thing that Ford asked me to read before we get going. Ford has asked me to remind everyone that they're going to earn $5 a share in 2008. No, I'm just kidding. Ford has asked me to remind everyone that today's presentation could include some projections about Ford's future performance, and that those are subject to the risks and uncertainties that are outlined in Form's SEC filings, 10K and 10Q. So with that, I'll turn it over to Don. Thanks.
Well, good morning, and thanks to everyone for coming to the auto show. And actually, Chris did cover pretty much most of the things I wanted to say, but I do want to really just reiterate that, you know, we are making a lot of progress on our plan, which really has four components, as we've talked about: to restructure to be profitable, to accelerate the growth of new products — this is a great place to be talking about that — to finance our plan and improve our balance sheet and work together. And this morning, we really are lucky to have Derek Kuzak and Jim Farley to talk about really accelerating new product development and working together and leveraging the global assets of Ford. So with that, I want to introduce Derek Kuzak.
All right, thanks, Don, and thanks, Chris, for that kind introduction and setting the tone for this morning. Good morning, everyone. Next slide, please. What I'd like to do, as both Don and Chris indicated, is focus on the second element of our plan, accelerating product development to bring products to market that our customers — and I like to use the word love as opposed to prefer. What I'd like to do is discuss the steps that we're taking and give you some evidence of the progress that we're making on that critical element of the plan. Next slide, please. So I'll talk about three different areas: how we plan our Ford model programs, how we work trying to achieve world-class efficiency in our investment and product development, and then finally give you a view of our products and technologies that we're showing here today, with a particular emphasis on what's different about how we're working and planning. Next slide, please. So let me start first with how we're planning. So outlined here is how we've changed our approach to our Ford year product plan. And it's all about focusing more on customer and the competitiveness of our product plans. And we're using measures of success, and they're what we call throughput metrics. So they're focused on actually some of the data that all of you use: the average age of our portfolio, how much of our product portfolio we're freshening year over year, the breadth of our product portfolio, and looking at it every region globally, and ensuring that our metrics and our outcomes are aligned with the best of competition. Now, obviously, to do that, we're looking at a cadence that's structured across all of our products — 3, 6, 9, 12 years. At every one of those milestones, every one of our products, a change that's marked and recognizable by the customer. Now, to do that with our breadth of a portfolio requires that we need to substantially improve our investment efficiency. And to do that, we also have a number of very strict metrics around simplification. As all of you recognize, as Ellen certainly recognized coming into the company, we are simply too complex. So we are substantially reducing number of platforms, number of engine and transmission architectures, even the complexity our customers see in terms of order guide complexity. and then driving that into improved investment efficiency and engineering efficiency. Importantly, one of the other fundamental elements of the plan is ensuring we have the investment to fully differentiate Ford and Lincoln products. No more badge engineering, and you see that on the show today. So with that as the plan, let me give you some metrics to show our progress. Next slide. This is average age of portfolio. It indicates the trend. It indicates that between 06 and 09, for both Ford and Lincoln portfolio, we reduced the average age by 35%. And that 35% puts us in the range of best of competition. And importantly, we will maintain that average age of portfolio equal to the best of competition through the remainder of the business plan period. Next slide. Now on simplification and focusing on platforms. Again, recognizing we were too complex, you can see two metrics here. The left-hand side is simply number of platforms globally for Ford. The right-hand side is platform leverage, volume per platform. And you can see that over the next several years, we'll reduce our complexity by about 15% on platforms. By the end of the plan period, 40%. Those numbers then are amongst the best in competition. Importantly, by 2012, 70% of our volume globally will be on 8 platforms. That then drives the platform leverage that you see on the right-hand side, improving by over 160% by 2012, which again puts us equal to the best of competition. Next slide. So I'd like to bring all of these initiatives together relative to the bottom line of investment efficiency. At the bottom, you can see all of the enablers that we're working. I've spoken to simplification, also working on cost even of the dies, online quoting, sourcing to low-cost countries are examples. And we're also starting to see clearly the benefits of the flexible manufacturing we put in place, and particularly in our body shops. So from just over a two-year period, from 06 to our product programs now, on a typical top hat program, a 20% improvement in investment efficiency, and that improvement is reflected in all elements of investment, engineering, launch, vendor tooling, and our vehicle operations tooling. Next slide. So I'd like to move to the second element of today's discussion, how we work, and this is really focused around improving engineering efficiency. Next slide. Within Ford, when we talk about engineering, we use an analogy of the product development as a factory. And the reason we do that is twofold. First, a mindset around process discipline. And secondly, one of our most important metrics is first time through. For a product development system, that means when you do the initial release of a part design, you don't change that design until you go into launch. First time through. You can also measure product development efficiency pretty simply. You can do these measurements and we can do it versus competition. The output of product development is the number of product programs you're working on, weighted by their marketing impact, divided by the engineering cost, which is the input to the product development factory. And that is our most important metric. Next slide. So to improve that metric, we have a number of improvement actions underway. They're listed here. What I'd like to do is take you through, again, some proof points relative to our progress against many of these initiatives. One that I won't spend a lot of time on is the bottom one, engineers' time to engineer. What we mean by that is value-added time for engineers, taking them out of meetings where they're not contributing and spending time doing actual engineering. And we're actually measuring that for our engineers. Next slide. I talked about how we measure product development efficiency. One of the best in the world in that measure is part of the Ford enterprise, Mazda. Given that, about 3 years ago, we set on the path of actually replicating the Mazda product development system throughout all of the Ford enterprise. We call that product development system the Global Product Development System. It's now in place. It's now used on all new product programs in the Ford Enterprise. The benefits are indicated here. Depending upon the complexity of a program, our time to market is anywhere from 27 to 49% faster. In real time, that's 8 to 14 months taken out of our product development programs on programs starting as early as last year. Next slide. We have a lot of focus on better virtual simulation tools and CAE tools, but our focus is not because they're fun. Our focus is to drive to improved bottom line. One of the biggest impacts of improved CAE and product data management is reducing the cost of costly vehicle prototypes. What's shown here is an improvement in that regard in terms of total cost of prototypes, reducing the number of vehicle prototypes we need, and reducing the cost per prototype. And you can see we're on a path of a 50% reduction, over the next 3 years. Next slide. One of the most important efforts we have going on is globalizing product development within Ford. And we are well underway here. We look at this globalization in three elements. First is at the component and the subsystem level. What we're doing here is we're appointing one team within Ford Global as the leadership for a commodity and or a subsystem. That means they define the technology strategy. They define the cost and weight reduction plan. They are our supplier interface. They minimize the complexity. How we do that is well defined, will be operational engineering by the end of the first quarter of this year. The next element is top hats and platforms. For the Ford brand globally, these are one and the same because we will have global vehicles in those market segments that are global. That means there is one design and engineering team doing that design and engineering work for every market segment that's global and for all of the products that are available for Ford in that market segment. That work is already well underway for B-car, C-car portfolio, and commercial vehicle portfolio. Bringing all of that together in terms of those engineering improvement work streams, over the next 3 years, between 06 and 09, we will improve our engineering as a percent of revenue by 30%. Next, let me talk about our products and technologies. Next slide, please. What I'd like to do now is rather than just talk about the products, I'd first like to provide you a framework of what is the Ford product strategy. Next slide. This is the global Ford product strategy. It's in customer words. For us, we think it's simple but compelling. I hope you have the same view. We start first with exciting designs. Next, great to drive, a competency of Ford. Next, products that are great to sit in, interiors that are second home on wheels through their interior comfort and convenience, and that are remarkably quiet. Next, fuel economy as a reason to buy, not as a reason to reject Ford vehicles. Unmistakably a Ford or a Lincoln and how they look, sound, and feel globally. And finally, all with exceptional value. So let me spend a few minutes on how we're delivering that global brand DNA and strategy. Next slide. I think just about everyone today talks about design leadership. However, to get to design leadership consistently, you have to change your process. It clearly starts with creative and world-class designers, but it takes more than that. It takes an innate understanding of what your customers want in design, and not customers today, but customers in the future. That's why we have our designers sitting side by side with what we call design progressive. Customers that are at the leading edge in their choice of fashion, color, electronic equipment, and actually sketching side by side with design progressive target customers. The second element I'd point to is that design leadership comes as an ultimate team sport. It isn't the designers. It's designers, product engineers, manufacturing engineers delivering great design. And let me show you why. Next slide. This is hopefully a simple and, again, compelling design that we've used with our engineering teams to make certain that they understand how big a portion they are of delivering leadership and design. And as you walk from a Homer Simpson design to a Superman design, it's all about millimeters matter. The difference between the left and the center design is millimeters in a bumper shelf. Millimeters in the proportion between the glass of the greenhouse and the body side. Filling the wheel well with the right size tires. That's what it takes to go from Homer Simpson to Superman. And that's only delivered when the engineering team does not dumb down a design because of engineering and manufacturing feasibility concerns, but in fact get creative to deliver leading design. But of course, you can always go too far and become a design caricature. Next slide. I talked about a Ford brand DNA, consistency of how our vehicles look, sound, and feel worldwide. This is a process that we started Ford in Europe about 3 or 4 years ago. We started first with vehicle dynamics, then expanded it into the entire driving environment of the vehicle. What it means is, and we're now expanding it globally, and it will be in place again through this year. What it means for the engineers is to take our brand strategy and our customer and put that understanding in customer words for engineers, and then finally translate it into engineering metrics that they design to. Next slide. We've completed this for the global Ford brand for all of these attributes of a vehicle, so that our vehicles worldwide will steer and handle the same way, that the i4 engines will sound the same for all Ford vehicles worldwide, that when you close the door on a Ford vehicle, it will have a signature and very pleasing sound, and that when you sit in a Ford vehicle, even if you're blindfolded, you will recognize that as a Ford vehicle from the feel of the steering wheel and the relationship between the seat, the wheel, and the pedal package. As an example, next slide. You can do this for seats. We have a seat that, from customer satisfaction perspective, is best in class. We now translate that seat into engineering metrics. The softness of the seat when you push on it, which is what customers do in the showroom. The hardness or the pressure points of the seat when you're driving it for long distances, which is the fundamental determinant of customer satisfaction. And we can also characterize the seat from the top of the seat back, the contour, all the way to the front of the seat cushion, the contour. We have those metrics defined. Every Ford seat will adhere to those metrics. Hopefully you can also see beyond customer satisfaction the engineering efficiency that delivers for us and for our seat supplier partners. That's just one example. Next slide. We've also outlined a technology strategy so that for our research team, our advanced engineering team, and our supplier partners, they know the technology that Ford is interested in and that Ford will be developing. And those interest in technologies are in three areas: design, inclusive of interior comfort and convenience, going back to the product strategy, sustainability, and finally safety. You also see an outline of our strategic statements in each of those strategic areas. Next slide. One of the other steps that we're taking is when we have a new feature or a new technology, we quickly develop a migration plan across our total portfolio. The reason for that is twofold. It obviously drives a much better business case for both ourselves and our supplier partners. But also it becomes a technology strategy that customers recognize for Ford. You can see the technologies that are propagating that way over the next 2 years. And at the bottom, you see a number of features that we call brand signature technologies. What we mean by that is they're Ford brand exclusives, or we implement them in a truly unique way. Next slide. Some examples of technologies that we're announcing at the show this week. Sync, obviously, we announced that last year, and it's been very, very successful. Over the last 3 months of last year, 10,000 Sync units per month were sold, and we project by that early 09, over 1 million of our vehicles will be Sync equipped. But importantly, Sync is a platform. It's a platform that allows us to introduce new features and technologies at the rate that consumers are used to with electronics. And that is our intention. Every 6 months to a year, a new version of Sync with new features and technology. At the show, we're announcing 911 Assist and Vehicle Health Report as the new features for version 2. Importantly, 911 Assist, the way it works with Sync, when there's an airbag deployment, there's a direct call placed to the local 911 center. It doesn't go through an intermediate call center, so it's rapid. And importantly, there is no monthly subscription fee for Sync. It comes standard with Sync technology. And for those customers who already have Sync, version 2 is upgradable through software at their dealership. Next slide. Again, with our focus on interior comfort and convenience, just as we co-branded with Microsoft on Sync, we will now have Sony branded audio in Ford and Mercury vehicles, starting first with all of our new vehicles this year, inclusive of F-Series and Flex. Surround sound system, 700 watts, 10 speakers, but importantly, Sony brand in the interior of every Ford vehicle. So when customers are in our vehicle, they see three of the 10 most powerful brands through the Harris poll: Ford, Sony, Microsoft. Next slide. Next generation nav system, 8-inch touchscreen display. It's outstanding in its clarity and its color. Also voice controlled, importantly, and also serves as a jukebox that can store over 2,000 songs. And then finally, again, emphasizing comfort and convenience and connectivity and entertainment, working with our Sirius partner and combining Sirius information systems now with our voice-controlled navigation system, providing a lot more data to our customers, data that they need that's up to date, inclusive of fuel stations and price, cinema times, weather conditions, 5-day forecast, sports scores, and traffic conditions. And again, all available real time, and obviously the navigation to the lowest cost fuel and the cinema and time that you choose. So that gives you an idea of hopefully our product strategy, and I'd like to reflect it in some of the vehicles that we're launching this year. Next slide. First, next slide, please. Next. I'll start with the Lincoln MKS, the flagship sedan for Lincoln. We've been revitalizing Lincoln over the past 2 years based around new product or significantly freshened product, inclusive of Navigator, MKZ, MKX, and now MKS. Here you see the Lincoln DNA, particularly in the front face with the very characteristic bow wave grille. But importantly, the designers and the engineers literally spent hours over every square inch of the sheet metal on this car, sculpturing the body so that every square inch becomes a light catcher. And in the interior, you see the material, the flawless craftsmanship that you'd expect of a premium sedan, along with flowing and sculptured design consistent with the exterior design. Next slide. With the Lincoln products, and the next step, Lincoln MKS, is establishing a unique driving experience for our Lincoln customers that provide a new balance to the premium segment between refinement, quietness, and driving engagement, fun to drive and steering precision and handling responsiveness. You can see in the list of technologies, again, consistent with the product strategy, a real focus on interior comfort and convenience. But in this case with the flagship sedan, also a focus on spaciousness. Class-leading legroom, front and second row, as well as class-leading luggage volume. Next slide. As we continue to progress our strength in crossovers, the next vehicle for establishing that strength is the Flex, also launching the summer of this year. It becomes now a three-row crossover for Ford. We all recognize that customers are still interested in the utility of people carrying vehicles. However, they have less interest in the designs associated with minivans. What we're attempting to do here is provide a people carrier that's aspirational in its design, unlike anything else on the road, and consistent with our product strategy, aspirational in how it drives. In the interior, you can again see attention to detail and craftsmanship and material. You also see a different design DNA for Ford versus Lincoln, a DNA that's much more purposeful in its design. Next slide. Here's the feature content. And again, you can quickly see an emphasis always on interior comfort and convenience. Here also emphasis on connectivity and entertainment. Importantly and uniquely, the vehicle has a refrigerator in the console, and this is a compressor-driven refrigerator. So like any second home on wheels, the cool down of the soda, wine, or cheese is at the same cool down rate as the refrigerator in your home. Also has sink, so with some tongue-in-cheek, we indicate that that Flex is the first vehicle to offer both sink and a fridge. You're supposed to laugh at that. For an engineer, that was a pretty good joke, by the way. All right, next slide. Obviously, the Ford brand is dependent on the F-150. We are the truck leader, and with this product, we intend to stay the truck leader. So leadership demands more. Starting again with design, consistent with our product strategy, the vehicle is fully differentiated, 360 versus the outgoing vehicle. Trucks are about powerful stance. Frankly, if you put the outgoing F-Series next to the new F-Series front view, it's almost a little brother, big brother relationship. Not shown here, but I'd welcome you in your review of the show to look at the rear view. Truck tailgates look the same until now, and you'll see the three grill design propagating back to the tailgate. A unique tailgate for the first time in truck design. Next slide. With every new F-Series, we've raised the bar, delivered more in interior material, design, and functionality. That again occurs here with the new F-Series, inclusive of Sony, Microsoft, and Ford brands in the interior. Next slide. So this F-Series is about more capability in towing and payload than any other competitor. Also, more choice, three cab styles, four boxes, seven trim series, and more features. And that's illustrated here. Importantly, on this box, these are all features that no other competitor offers. They're exclusive to the F-150. And there is a focus here, again, around interior comfort and convenience, but there's also a focus here around the tool for our truck owners, and that tool is the box. So you see class features like how you access the box, not just through a tailgate step, but now through a side step, through a cargo management system that is a truck cargo management system. Compare the stanchions of the F-Series cargo management system to every other competitor and its original equipment. Next slide. So let me now move to some of the concept vehicles we have at the show. The first is the Explore America concept. Obviously, this is a modern interpretation of the Explore that takes six people and their gear to their campsite or any vacation site. It does so with the right level of towing and off-road capability and a truly modern and very sophisticated and very aerodynamic design. It does so with a pillarless sliding door, signaling our attention to closure systems going forward. And it's a concept vehicle that demonstrates our fuel economy and sustainability strategy going forward. Next slide. So you can see a lot of unique features using the tailgate as a picnic site, liftgate as a picnic site. I invite you to see that looking at the vehicle. But importantly, in the lower right, you see the powertrain choices. Powertrains, a 2-liter I-4 or a 3.5 V6, horsepower levels of 275 to 340 plus, but importantly, substantially better fuel economy with those power levels. Next slide. That's delivered through our new engine family of gasoline engines that we call EcoBoost. They combine technologies of direct injection, turbocharging, and downsizing the engine. When you combine those three elements, you provide a fuel economy benefit of 10 to 20%, depending upon application, 7 to 15% reduction in emissions, and improved engine performance. In other words, power of a V8 with the fuel economy of a V6, power of a V6 with the fuel economy of an I-4. Next slide. That's demonstrated here in a torque curve comparison. Comparing a 3.5 V6 to a 4.6 liter V8. Note the torque curve of the EcoBoost V6. How flat it is over the entire engine speed range, and how it provides substantially more low-end torque than the V8. That translates into very fun to drive. And importantly, a 2 mile per gallon advantage. Next slide. So when you combine EcoBoost with a number of other steps we're taking on a vehicle, such as the Explorer America, reducing its weight by moving to unibody construction and using EcoBoost, smaller displacement V6 engine, electric power assist steering, a 6-speed transmission, paying attention to every parasitic loss in the vehicle, you improve the fuel economy versus today's Explorer by somewhere between 20 to 25% with the V6, by as much as 35% with the I-4. And these are affordable technologies. EcoBoost pays back from a customer perspective in 2.5 years versus 5 to 7 years for a diesel and a decade for a hybrid. Next slide. This is our B-Car concept that we're showing at the show. It demonstrates the design, the technology, and the craftsmanship that will come with the B-Car that we will launch in North America in 2010. We believe with this level of design and technology, we move B-Cars from affordability to desirability, particularly for younger customers, millennials. Strikingly, look at the interior. The interior, the brief to the design team was to bring the mobile phone experience into the interiors of our cars, both in the design and the logic of the controls. This vehicle also illustrates how our global PD model is working. The European product development team is designing and engineering this vehicle, as well as all of our B-car portfolio for all global applications. So that includes the four-door sedan shown here for North America, next slide, as well as the four-door sedan for China. Both of these sedans have exceptionally high levels of commonality, differences driven only by unique tuning elements for the markets. Next slide. As well as the three-door hatch designed for Europe, but we're also showing it here in North America to judge customer reaction to such a three-door hatch for North America. What's most important is by using the expertise of our European team, we can bring any of the worldwide B-car portfolio to the North American market. Next slide. And finally, the last of the concept vehicles, the Lincoln MKT, another potential step in the revitalization of Lincoln. The vehicle is shown as a four-seating touring vehicle, but it does have the capacity and the interior flexibility to be a seven-seater. It really demonstrates all of the Lincoln design DNA elements, from the bow wave grille to the strong chiseled shoulder, the character line that runs from the front rear front lower fascia all the way through the lower rear fascia. Flowing A-pillar, strong C-pillar planted in the rear quarter, as well as the tail lamp that goes with the full width of the rear of the vehicle. Next slide. Again, all about interior comfort and convenience, but some really unique design elements. Look at the instrument cluster using LEDs, creates a floating experience. Really, a Swarovski crystal is what we were looking for there. And environmentally friendly in its use of EcoBoost, as well as a great deal of unique, new, recyclable material. Next slide. So I hope I've given you a feel for our product strategy, how that product strategy is global. I hope I've given you a feel for how we're driving improved efficiency, investment, and engineering through the entire Ford enterprise by working globally and focusing on efficiency elements that drive to the bottom line. Thanks for your kind attention. With that, it's my pleasure to turn the meeting over to my colleague, Jim Farley. Thank you.
I'll have a short presentation just focused on the marketing function. I've been here at Ford Motor Company for about 60 days, and I'd like to dive in maybe to North America to really explain our strategy in the marketing and sales operations side. Next slide. So this is our plan, and I'm a downstream function and an input function for Derek's team in terms of optimizing the potential in each of the new products that you saw, from the Flex and the F-150 to the future vehicles like Verve. And as well, the marketing function is a key component in working together as a team to develop the best products, and most importantly, to connect with customers and dealers. Next slide. So this is the basic organization, metrics organization of Ford Motor Company globally. And I just wanted to point out something that is very intentional by the company that relates to my activity in marketing and sales. And that's both the Derek, Joe Hendricks, who's responsible for manufacturing, and the marketing function are both responsible and key executives for their function in North America and globally. And that's a very different way of organizing those functions compared to the other car companies you'll talk to today. Most cross-line functions responsible for the globe, but in our case, we have day-to-day responsibility for the same function in North America, because that's a place we can really globalize the company, as Derek said, and drive change into the business day-to-day. Next slide. This is the assessment of where we are. As you can see, the opportunities from a market share standpoint in sales and marketing are obviously in Asia and in the U.S. The arrows indicate the direction of the company or the market. In the case of the U.S., market size is still very robust at 16 million units, depending on who you talk to. But we see some risk on the downside in 2008. On the market share side for Ford Motor Company here in North America, we see a lot of opportunity or red for market share, and our market share has stabilized at about 13% retail last year. We see quite a bit of opportunity here in the U.S., also in Mexico. We see market share opportunity in, as you can see, in all the Asian markets, especially in China. And that's where we're spending our time globally in marketing and sales. Next slide. The CMO's position at Ford is a new position largely. It's been here and not here over the years, but these are the kind of functional separations. And the approach will be a kind of global approach, which is both global and local. That means that on the left-hand side, you can see the functions that will be coordinated centrally. You could see the process of briefing an agency or evaluating a piece of creative or a media plan or a go-to-market for launch. Those processes will be consistent, just like Derek's PD team, and will drive that consistent change and improvement in process through the whole globe. That would include also research, customer tracking studies, and using research as a really strategic tool for everything product input to Derek's team, to also implementation of launches. And as well, you could see key elements of our centralized function like marketing sustainability. How do we market EcoBoost around the world? The benefits will be different around the world, but that is a cross-brand initiative that will be led by a centralized function. As well as digital, consumers online, obviously, they don't see borders, and our digital presence has to be consistent and have impact. And as well, the agency management and process, and a big area of efficiency for us we see is in media planning and the whole media buying area, which is a great opportunity for us across the globe. Currently, media is all bought regionally, and there's quite a bit of opportunity to be more efficient with our plans. And you can see on the right, however, that we would never want to hamper the creativity and flexibility of the local markets, the regions in Asia, Europe, and the US for sales operations, tier two and tier three marketing, launch planning, pricing, retail education of the dealers. All of that continues to be regional. Next slide. Now I'd like to dive into North America. One of the elements of the way we're managing the business here in North America is quite different than how Ford has managed it in the last few years, and certainly different than some of our competitors. And the key idea is a virtuous circle in terms of meeting demand and supply. On the left is kind of the ideal state, so great products, pricing that is close to transaction price with little incentives. High resale value as a result of little discounting and low variable marketing costs. Of course, high customer satisfaction and profitability for the manufacturer, but also for our dealer partners. The way we're managing the sales and marketing function in North America is we have a four-day supply. We manage that four-day supply based on changing market conditions. For example, on truck, we're managing our business between 70 and high 80-day supply. And we continue to adjust our production to make sure that we maintain that day supply. And it has a tremendous impact in Ford's financial performance here in North America, especially for our dealers. So if you look at the virtuous circle, for example, in December, our incentives were down substantially over December of 06. And we were the only mainstream manufacturer in the industry in December to spend less money on incentives in December than in November. And that creates a really important virtuous circle for another component for us, which is our dealers. Our dealer profitability last year was the best it's been since 2001. And the improvement was over 20% year over year. And the biggest driver for improvement was the reduction in flooring expense for our dealers. That was driven almost exclusively by lower stocks of our trucks and cars. That is a key driver for our success in getting traction. When our partners win, we win. Reducing their expenses not only has benefit to us, but also to their long-term sustainability. Next slide. This is just a concrete example of the dramatic shift that Ford Motor Company has had in North America in managing our stocks. In just a few years, you could see the company successfully right-sized the business, as Don and Alan continually say, and reduced our normal stock levels by 200,000 units. And that's driven huge cost advantages for our company, reduction in variable marketing, and also improvement in resale value. On Lincoln, for example, we're now within 2 or 3 points of resale values of the best-in-class competitors because of managing the business this way and bringing products to the market that people want to buy. It's a very different way of managing the business, but it's been successful and continue to make progress. Next slide. So North America, what's the plan for marketing sales in North America? Well, first, is to strengthen the brand. The reality is there's still a very large gap between what customers on the car side think of Ford Motor Company and our actual product delivery. And my job and our jobs team is to shrink that gap. We have more 5-star ratings than any company in North America, full-line manufacturer. We've won a lot of J.D. Power's awards. We're now recognized by Consumer Reports as having one of the top quality ratings in the industry. But customers don't know. In the next 12 months, we're going to be telling a lot of customers about what Ford is doing in terms of the trust factors, the foundation of any brand, to expand the favorability of our product and consideration. Step number 2, we will be decentralizing our day-to-day marketing, variable marketing and fixed, to acknowledge the complexities in the U.S. of the different economies and metro markets. Right now, what's happening in Texas is very different than what's happening in Orlando and Atlanta. We are now taking our variable marketing, which we used to spread like a peanut butter across the United States in one motion. We're now allocating a variable amount of that to each of the regions and metro markets. Same thing we're doing with the dealer ad support, and as well even now developing tier 3 advertising standards and additional resources so that the dealers can acknowledge the difference in their market. So now we have much more variability in our offer side and also in the fixed marketing expense. This is a dramatic change for the company. It puts a lot of pressure on your regional teams, but it is the best way to efficiently develop marketing plans that have impact. And I can go into more detail on that. The third area, of course, is to continue to run our business with that 4-day supply model, to right-size the business and continue to try to optimize the reflecting the supply to the actual demand. This is very courageous for car companies, especially as we go into economic headwinds, but it's the right way to manage our business because of the virtuous circle. The third area, of course, is world-class launches. This year, as Derek said, we're going to be bringing a substantial part of our volume as new product, the F-150, the Flex, and the MKS, as well as hybrid versions of the Fusion in Milan later in the year. These are critical launches, very substantial volume for our company, and we are now designing world-class launches to highlight the opportunity in those vehicles. Flex, for example. Ford in North America has a tremendous amount of natural traffic for crossover vehicles. We thought we'd sell about 100,000 Edges last year. We wound up being about 130,000. Why? We have a huge number of Explorer and Expedition customers coming into Ford dealerships trading in their old vehicles. And we have a tremendous opportunity with natural traffic for Flex. It's a true 6 and 7 passenger vehicle. It has a different design statement than anyone else on the market. It has great features from technology and interior usefulness. And the design impact that we've seen in our research has been very, very high. Great opportunity to differentiate ourselves from the sea of kind of predictable crossovers. That's a vehicle that's new to our fleet, never had it before. A lot of natural traffic. A great opportunity for Ford to continue to be the leader in crossover. F-150 is the same. Huge market, over 2 million units, 31 years of leadership, really meaningful customer improvements, really important launch for us this year. So for Flex and MKS especially, huge opportunity to grow and conquest because they're both essentially adds to our fleet. And the last, and one that is very critical and often overlooked in our business, is a relationship with our retail partners. Ford Motor Company has worked very hard in the last year and will continue to work even harder to not only define the best footprint of our dealers, but look to them as equal partners in our sustainable, profitable future. And frankly, the health of our relationship is really improved. If you look at the NADA franchise value or the health of our partnership in the NADA surveys, we now had substantial improvements in the summer survey, and we're now on par with the industry. We're really excited to make even more progress with our partners, but at the same time, very courageously, to define the right footprint in North America for our retail as we right-size our business. And this is a key part of the marketing and sales activity in 08. Those are the real high-level activities that we're going to be working on and priorities for the company. And we'd like to explain more if you have any questions. Thank you very much for your time. And that's the end of our presentation.